Man, the Lord's glad everybody's here today. Go ahead and tell somebody that you're glad they're here today. Just kind of lean and say, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Glad you're here today. And God's really glad that you're here today. And so you know what? There's going to be many things happen in this text today. Now go with me to Acts chapter 4. We're going to go ahead and dive in here and get right in this deal. God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to do that. He wants to save you. I say that every Sunday. You know why? Because some of y'all are going to get around some of these clowns. It tells you a guy wants to save some and he wants to abandon others. That's not scriptural. God's desire in his heart in Timothy is that all would be saved. Now, here's what happens. Some of you are going to decide to do it on your own terms. Now, let's look. We're looking today for the church to be pushed a little bit. This summer, we're going to push the church. And here's what happens anytime we push the church. Some of y'all are going to leave because it's going to be too much. Lines going to be drawn. No, we don't draw lines at Hillview. We release spirit at Hillview. So there's a difference. I am not a rule man. I'm a relation man. I believe this, if you are madly in love with Jesus Christ, you will do the things he calls you to do. And if you are not in love with Jesus Christ, you step aside. Now, here's what I know. If you're going to step aside, you'll never be what you could be. Just think about that in life. It's in any, watch this. If I step aside in marriage, all right, Elizabeth and I's marriage will never be what it could be. If I step aside in pastoring a church, it'll never be what it's supposed to be. Stepping aside will never move your life forward. Can you young folk grab that? Don't step aside. Now, here's the battle. Everything in our culture today is telling you to step aside. It's telling you to take the easy way. It's telling you to move with the path of least resistance. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Straight up, live at Hillview on a hot June Sunday. Feels like July, though, doesn't it? Hot June. God will cause controversy in your life. See, here's what a lot of us trying to do. We're trying to hold on to Jesus and get along with everything. If you're going to follow Jesus, you will not get along with everything. You know why? Because he's the Lord of everything, and not everything likes Jesus. Not everything glorifies Jesus. Not everything is accepting of Jesus. That makes sense? This was our problem we have in Acts 4. Remember, Mr. Klein, we got a dilemma. We got this beggar that was at the temple courts. Remember, we got Peter and we got John, and they come upon this beggar, and the beggar says, do you have anything? They say, silver and gold, we have none. But in the name of Jesus, what? Get up and walk. Now, how many of y'all believe that happened? Well, the rest of you doubt the scripture? You say, well, Pastor, I've never seen it, so it couldn't exist. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't seen a lot of things that exist. You and I are not unlimited. So let's go ahead and make his confession. Just look over at your neighbor, even if you don't know him, and say, you know what? You're all right, but you're not unlimited. Go ahead and tell him, you're all right, but you're not unlimited. True? Well, just don't you only know what you know? Come on, let's really break it down. Now, him and you pretty smart. You married Rhonda. That's a sign.
There you go. Amen.
However, are you unlimited? No. Rhonda, you unlimited. So you would say, at your best, then, you all have a limited marriage. At your best. However, now watch, I know Jerry and them, I don't do this to people. Well, I do it to people I don't know, but not often, okay? But hold on, we put Christ, follow me here, this is a living example. We put Christ in the center of your relationship. Now what has your relationship become? Unlimited. You know what's in this room? Unlimited potential. You know what's rarely tapped in the kingdom of God today? Jesus. Jesus. We talk about everything else. I went over to the Christian bookstore sale place. Every once in a while I go there to just see what hype they're selling this week. And guess what book you can't find in a Christian bookstore? Try to find one about Jesus. You'll be looking a long time. They got books on how to lose weight in the name of Jesus, how to gain weight in the name of Jesus, how to balance your mental health in the name of Jesus, how to find a Christian husband. We even got a website now to help Christian people find Christian people. Why don't you try this? Pray! You don't need to log on. You need to lift up the name of who? Jesus. How many of y'all pray about who you date? Some of you don't, because I've seen who you drug in here. You say, Pastor Ayers, especially you sweet little girls, I don't know why you do this. Y'all go through the same thing Clacy goes through. Clacy drags something in there that don't believe in Jesus into my house. Daddy, what do you think about him? I think he needs to get saved. We don't even need to talk until that happens. Well, he's a good boy. Yeah, but he's limited. That's a scary thing for a father when their daughter brings something really limited into your house. And here's why it scares you as a father. Because if a dude's limited, she ain't getting out of your pocket. See, I wanted to bring somebody because I'm going to tell that boy, whoever tastes crazy, listen, she's yours, she's expensive, and she's for the rest of your life. And she's out of my pocket. I only want one woman in my pocket. See what I'm saying? We've got to be real about these things. We are limited. God is unlimited. Would you agree with that statement? How many of y'all agree with that statement? Come on, this is a working sermon today. Y'all going to have to move. Some of you guests are looking at me going, does he act like this all the time? Yes. So now that we got that over with, let's get into it. This is the real message. I don't come to church to listen to somebody to give me an idea about God. I come to church to hear from the God. The guy got up and walked. What do you think? Dude was crippled and he's walking. Does this cause conflict? You better believe it does. First of all, doctors are mad. How did he get that guy to do it? They didn't. He tapped an unlimited source. Now, here's what I want you to know. That same unlimited God is moving right now as we speak, as we sing, and as we worship, and he wants into our lives. Now, what are we going to do with that? See, here's what makes me nervous. Sometimes I think even at Hillview, we sit here and we kind of, you know, reflect on the idea of God, but we don't really want to step into the involvement with God. See, you'll never know God just reading the Bible. Paul, an intellectual, was very aware of this. He said, the way I knew God was not reading the papaya of his time. It was that he said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I've joined with his death, so now I can live in the power of his what? Resurrection. Now, this is going to be amazing. How powerful is the cross and resurrection? It is the testimony of all time. Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. And because of that rhythm, there is unlimited hope for humanity. Now, here's what amazes me. We'll put our hope in everything else. We can be hyped up so quick, right? Come on, be honest, true. How many of y'all have seen hype go on? We want to put our hope in government. Well, what have you discovered if you put your hope in government? It don't matter what kind of government it is. It's going to control you. Governments seek to control. God seeks to release. True or false? Y'all can talk a little bit. What do you think? You can say, no, I don't buy that. I mean, you're wrong, but you can say that. I mean, read a history. Coach Obi, they need to teach a little more history to our young folk. Our young folk, they know about Pokemon and the Mario Brothers and Atari games and, you know, Call of Duty. But they don't know any history. They don't know that the Romans, they gave bread to the people, but only for a price, to control the people. They don't understand that empires built by humanity are a temporary moment at best. But yet God has established grace that keeps echoing and changing people generation after generation, time after time. Let me tell you what happens. This dude gets up and walks. And I'm telling them, everybody's upset. They are upset. Well, here's come Peter and John. Peter and John, they're in trouble because a crippled man started walking in the name of Jesus. Go with me to chapter 4 and here it unfolds. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking with the people. Now note this. Who are Peter and John with? Uh-huh. Now note this. Josh, you're smart. Now note this. And who are the religious with? The religious. Same thing's going on in today's moment. I have groups of the religious, they want to meet together and have conferences and argue theology while the followers meet with the people. Jesus was always with the what? So where do you think his followers will be? And where do you think the religious will be? Where were the religious when Jesus was here? Meeting among themselves, seeking to determine truth. And they missed the truth because they couldn't come to the conclusion the truth walks. The truth has hands. The truth has eyes. The truth has senses. The truth has sandals. And the truth hangs out with people they never would. The truth will talk to the woman at a well who's shacked up. John chapter 4. Here's what bothers the religious. I know the Bible better than they do. They know verses. I know the story. And Jesus came as the ultimate story. He told blind people to see, told lame people to walk, told hungry people to eat, told people of the wrong ethnic group, come on in, told women at the well, it'll be all right. Told drunks that they don't have to drink that much tonight. Jesus himself was accused of being a wine bibber. The Lord! He must have met some Baptists in Jerusalem. Because Baptists know how to do one thing well. They won't share the gossip, but they sure will gossip about each other. I could hear them right now. Hey, did y'all see Jesus? He's over with them people drinking. They was drinking alcohol. And Pastor Steve was sitting right next to him. I had a lady, I was over at Old Charlie's, and I was out with some friends of mine, and these friends of mine, their grape juice is a little more sparkling than others, and they had it in a sparkling glass. And I had this dear saint that I'd grown up with from the First Tabernacle downtown, and she came up to me and she said, Brother Steve, I am very disgusted with you. I said, well, why are you? There's a whole list of people that are disgusted. What brought you on the list? And she said, these people have wine at the table. I looked down at the table. I said, you kidding me? Is that what that is? And she said, well, you're a pastor. And I said, well, I encourage you to go read your Bible. Because I said, I want to thank you today for speaking encouragement into my life. Because you verified today that I am doing the same thing that Jesus did. I said, they said the same thing about him. They put their hands on their hip and said, we're disgusted with you, Lord and Savior of the universe, that you would eat with people that we would not eat with. You know why? You and I are limited, and God is what? Are you tracking me today? Now, here's what happens. The limited elite, how do you like that for a phrase? The limited what? Now, Senator, you be careful with that or you won't be elected again, okay? Be very careful with that. In fact, last week I was in Washington with the limited elite. They really get elite up there. They give them a button. You know, I'm in the House of Representatives. I told one of them, not for long. Enjoy it. See, we think because someone gives us title, that gives us power. That's these boys fixing to mess with Peter and John. Now, Peter and John, they only know Jesus. They're not into power. They're into who? Now, here's what's so funny. If you seek power, you will find limitation. Somebody follow me here today. I am preaching today. If you seek power, you will find limitation. If you seek Jesus, you will know power. That get it? But where's the power come from? Not from a title. So the big boys are coming to the house. They're disturbed. They're greatly disturbed, the Bible says. The apostles were teaching people, and they were proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. Josh, what were they preaching? Calvinism? Arminianism? Docetism? Sectarianism? Humanity? See, I got all those big words. I went to school. Guess what they mean? Nothing. See, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Let me tell you what makes the world quench. The resurrection of Jesus. You mean you're talking about the God that got up from death? You talking about the Jesus that is a part, who is the God that parted the Red Sea? You talking about a God that made a covenant with Abraham, and God told Abraham, I will bless you and many nations. That God, He's risen from the dead. Now see, here's what religion does. Y'all stay out of religion. Listen, it's worse than whiskey. Y'all have heard all these Baptist preachers. They'll preach about Jack and Jim. But they'll never preach about confining religion. It'll make you just as sick. I mean, you're walking around with a religion that won't save you. Now, here's why we like it. Because you get to be the power. So you can look down on other people. You can go, well, I don't say cuss words. Well, good for you. Then you can be a non-cussing agent of hell. Some of you go, well, I've never had a drink of alcohol. I guarantee you, when you're in hell, you'll want a cold beer. I guarantee it'll be one of the first things you want. And I bet you cuss when you go downward instead of upward on the death move. I bet it won't be, oh Lord, amen? See, we get so proud of thinking we can save ourselves. Come on, I've heard this mess. I've heard it right here in this church. Pastor Steve, I'm a good person. I go, yeah, but you still, you're going to good hell. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. And a lot of people have been led astray by this, especially men in Kentucky. Because they tell me all the time, now, Pastor Ayers, I ain't never killed nobody. I'm a good man. So the majority of people have not killed nobody. That's one word here in Kentucky, killed. K-I-L-L-L-L-I-T, killed. Killed nobody. Interpreted for up north, I have never killed anyone. That's what that means. Well, good. But you've disobeyed God. Hello? We're limited. And God wants to save us so that we might be resurrected. Man, it got these boys mad. Peter and John are out there talking to the people, and guess what they're telling them about? Jesus. I said, listen, there's this Jesus. The establishment had him crucified, but God had him risen. So really, there's a choice you make in all of life. Will I submit my life to the establishment or to the risen? Isn't that really the battle? See, the majority of us are more committed to impressing each other than we are following God. Because when you really follow Jesus, it's dangerous. You can get arrested. Now, I'm going to ask y'all something. Are y'all going to be okay when your pastor gets arrested? I will be arrested. I guarantee you, it's going to happen in my lifetime. It ain't a long way off. It's going to happen in my lifetime. I mean, we're going more politically correct because guess what? I don't get to pray in public anymore. You know why? Because I can't do this prayer. Oh, dear universal force that exists somewhere in deep space nine. As you connect all possibilities of the heavenly realm and understanding of the metaphysical, universal, existential possibilities of our souls, Bless this dinner today. Now, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, who died on a bloody cross, who rose on the third day from a nasty grave, who will save your soul in the name of who? And they're going to go, Pastor Ash, we can't have you pray because you offend Muslims. I said, is that all? Let me help you. I offend New Agers. I offend Muslims. I offend Hindu fish worshipers. I offend Scientology. I offend you. And I offend anyone who only believes in themselves. Because guess what, Gary Dale? I believe there's only one way. There's only one Lord. There's only one baptism. There's only one hope. It's Jesus. And hold on. When you step in, now see, Rainey, you think you've been hit. You've been hit by Jesus. He knocked you out for 3 days. And then on third day, he said, come on, Rainey, let's go to the house. No, y'all think you're tough? Try following Jesus. Let's see how tough you are. See if you square up when they say, I'm going to cut your head off. Here's what the early believers did. Cut it off. How you deal with somebody that crazy? How you deal with somebody, you put them in jail and the Lord lets them out? Yeah, I want to see them lock me up. I done told the sheriff last service, you lock me up, you better bring a big deputy. Because I'm going to preach all the way and I'm going to get in jail, I'm going to start preaching. I'm like, guess what? Y'all don't have to stay in here. Let's get to singing. Let me tell y'all about this story I know about. This guy got locked up just like me for preaching Jesus, and they got to singing and the Lord opened the doors. Wouldn't that be cool? Down there in the regional jail. We lift you up. We get to going, get that jail rocking. And then all of a sudden, them doors all of them open at the same time. Boom. I said, now, boys, there's a deal to this. If you step out, you got to step out with him. And then you know what? We're just going to go right up to the square. We're going to get right to the square. We might even go up to Cherry Hall and stand on top of the statue. Right on top of Henry Herring's head. And I say, I want to tell y'all one more time. He died on a cross, a bloody, rugged, nasty cross. He died there for our sin. And on the third day, he's risen from the grave. And that's so powerful. Did it unlock the doors of a jail cell? How many of y'all believe that'll happen? Lock me up. I'm going to ask the Lord to let me out. So y'all think it'll happen. I say, I believe that'll happen. Lock me up. They say, well, what if they kill you? Kirby's going to roll me out. I'm going to have instructions for Kirby. He's going to roll me out. He's going to say, Ayers is dead because he wouldn't shut up talking about the cross and the resurrection. But these are his last words. If any of you today can realize you're a sinner, God will take you and free you. Amen. And I will see you in heaven. Amen. Are you that convinced it'll work? Now, see, y'all think I'm talking crazy, don't you? Y'all thought I'd been talking crazy about this Muslim stuff. Y'all are going crazy. Really? Who made the national news this week? Bowling Green. And what did we have hit out in Bowling Green? Let's see. We had New Age terrorists. Or were they? Terrorists right here from Iraq. Now, you know why I think God sent them here? Because they need to hear about Jesus. You know how you defeat terrorism? Save them. You don't throw bombs in the name of Jesus. Yeah. What if God... Yeah, now, see some of y'all going, Pastor, now you're crazy. Ain't no way terrorists can be saved. Really? What happened to all those dudes in the Bible that were terrorists that got saved? What happened to all those guys that killed Christians that turned around and started saving Christians? What happened to the soldier on the day Jesus was crucified when he looked up on that old cross and said, truly, this is the Son of God? Tell me what happened to him. The name of Jesus will change everything. And it'll allow you to step forward when you feel inside like everything is lost. And only that name. Well, let's finish up here. Go with me, Acts 4. You there? They seized Peter and John. And because it was an evening, guess what they did? Put them in jail until the next day. How many of y'all? I'm serious. How many of y'all would really go to jail for your faith? Amen. Okay, half of you. That's about right. I've always wondered if somebody came in here and demanded that we stand up and give our lives for a faith, I wonder how large the 11 o'clock service would be. You say, Pastor Harris, why don't you talk like that? Because a lot of our brothers and sisters in the world live that way. You know, when Russia opened up, they sent a lot of our missionaries back because we were too weak and watered down from the faith that they had grown. They don't worry about if it's hot in the worship service or not. They worry about if they're going to live through it. See, if we ever got to that intensity, then the gospel has room to change the world. See, as I'm preaching right now, what are you thinking about? What are you going to do this afternoon or what God might do in you? See, we're so consumed with ourselves, we can't ever see Jesus. And it's crazy. We live in America. It's a beautiful place to live. But guess what? We've been given so much that our muchness, I know that's not a word, but I went to school so I can make words up. Our muchness has caused our device. We got so much, we worry about what we have instead of who's got a hold of us. These boys, I'm talking Peter and John, they step out of jail. Guess who they're still talking about? Jesus. And then look what happened. Verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. I got a new crew. They're telling me the Lord doesn't do things in a big way. Really? The Lord doesn't care about numbers. I wonder why he mentions them in the Bible all the time since he doesn't care about them. I mean, we're in the fourth chapter of Acts, and we already have two numbers, 3,000 in Acts 2, 5,000 right here. That's 8,000, simple math. And the Lord was adding to their number daily. Apparently, the Lord's more convinced about reaching people than some of us are. They weren't huddled up in a small group talking about what Jesus could do. Guess what they were actually doing? Outliving lives in Jesus. We care more about meeting than we do living. Just a checkup to start the summer. So I want to challenge you this summer. How many of y'all are going to invite somebody to meet Jesus this summer? How many of y'all going to be out doing stuff this summer? If not, I want you to. I mean, if you're out on your motorcycle, just pull over and ask somebody to come know Jesus. That'll freak them out if you're on a motorcycle. If you had a swimming pool, what do you need to talk about? Now, you be careful with the swimming pool because you can't be hitting on people and witnessing to people at the same time. You're going to have to choose one or the other. So if they turn you down, bring them to Jesus. Amen? At least get them to Jesus and then go back and hit on them. Amen? You got that? Y'all got that rhythm? Get them to Christ and then come back around saying, by the way, would you like to have dinner tonight? Huh? Be real with this thing called following Jesus. You know what? They believed so intensely they wouldn't shut up, Marty. They let them out of jail and then they bring in the big boys. The next day, guess what happens? Here comes. Any of y'all ever been called to principal's office? Any of y'all ever had that when you went to elementary school? Oh, yeah. Senator Wilson, you were called into the principal's office? That is believable. Ty, did you ever get called in the principal's office down there in Georgia? Did you really? Do you like it? I didn't. What about you, Larry? Did you ever get called in? No. Heming, what about you? You were a good guy, weren't you? You never got to the principal's office? Ron's routing you out. What about in the balcony? Who's up there in the balcony today? Anybody? Did you get called to the principal's office? Yep. You know, I know y'all find this hard to believe, but I was called in a couple times. Now, Dan, I know you're a good principal, and you're a good principal. But if you had me as a kid, you and I would have known each other on a personal basis. Because I tried to help the administration. And they would call me in the principal's office because if the teacher couldn't get me calmed down, what did they do? Yeah, y'all know how it works. Yeah, the football team knows how it works. You get the grad assistant first, right? They send in a grad assistant, comes in like this. Hey, man, you need to calm down, man. They're going to get on you, man. That's football talk. Then they call in the assistant coach. And boys, I'll tell you what, you need to calm down. You're going to get this out of my hands. It's going to be a bad deal on you. And then who comes? The man. The head coach. It is never good to be in the head coach's office. I know this by personal experience. I was in a football drill one day, and I didn't like our quarterback because he was like most quarterbacks. He didn't have to do nothing all day but throw a ball. And then he mouthed off, and he had mouthed off the night before. And I didn't hear that it was not live on the backs. It was live on the line and off on the backs. I forgot when he came around my side. And I remembered what he had said that night and laid in a little bit. I heard from the tower. We had a tower back there. It was a tower. And they'd get on this microphone. It went on for 5 minutes. My name was spoken for 5 minutes. I knew this was not good. So as I stood up, he said, you go to my office, you don't take your uniform off, and you sit down in that chair till I get there. This was the beginning of practice that I hit this guy. And he said, what are you trying to do to our quarterback? He said, what if you'd have taken him out? I said, we would have proved our team, coach, right there. Opening your mouth one time, 2 minutes. See, hold on, what was I doing? I was trying to do what? His job. We had the number one defense in the league for one reason. It's not hard to have number one defense when we had an offense that went 1-2-3 and out. That was their whole offensive plan. We're going to play three times and give it back to you, boys. Three and out, three and out, three and out. Our punter also led the league. It's never good when your punter leads the league, because guess what that means? You punt a lot. We didn't score a lot. I sat in that office for 2 hours and 15 minutes. And when he came in, guess what? He was not happy. He said things to me that I will not repeat in this sermon. He called me names that I've been called before. He reminded me that I was not the head coach. Well, here comes the power brokers of the day. The next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And we're in their home court, Jerusalem. And here they come. He even gives their names in scripture. Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas. All the big names of priesthood, and they are ticked. They are what? Important. What are they coming to do? John Paul, I think they're trying to calm the apostles down, aren't they? A lot of y'all wish we'd just calm down and have church. 3 points in a poem. Get on out. Sing a couple of choruses and let's get on out of here. I bet we can wrap this up in 40 minutes and get on with our great day. What if God's got a great day he'd like to get into you? What if I told you this? How offended would you be? God doesn't even care about your plans. He would like you to have his. Well, Pastor Steve, what about my feelings? They're really overrated. And you'll save a lot of money if you quit living by them and start living in God's reality. Check this out. He goes on. I'm about to finish up. I promise. Look here. Ananias, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest family. Brought the whole family. You know when you bring the whole family, you know what that tells you? You're scared. Why can't a high priest take on 2 apostles by themselves? Because you know what the high priest has never seen? Get up and walk. High priest walked by and said, get up and walk. And guess what? No walking going on. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Guess what happens? He walked. It's kind of messed him up. Messed him up bad. And he goes on, look what happens. They had Peter and John brought before them and they began to question them. By what power, what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, are asking how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man now stands healed. You know what I love about this? They just healed him. By the way, now listen, if you get offended by this, you just have to be offended. God didn't put on a show either when he healed. Did you notice that? I mean, he didn't get out a bottle of spray anointing oil and run around the beggar going, he didn't do that. They do that on TBN, but they don't do that in the Bible. They're always selling Hondas on there. You know, I'm selling my Honda. I was in one of those services, and I went, I'm selling my Suzuki. You know, I mean, what? Doing all that stuff to do what? To do what? To do what? God ain't a show. God ain't a show. Look at God healing. Rarely does he ever put on a show. You know why? Healing's a show enough. When you got a crippled man walking into the temple, you don't have to declare anything. It's already declared. That's why some of you all are scary. Your lives are so radically different, it can only be blamed on Jesus. And that's why people start doing this. Oh, my goodness. What's happened to them? And y'all look at them and go, Jesus met me and came into me and changed me. See, you don't have to wear a bumper sticker if you're truly saved. You don't have to put on all these bracelets and all this apparel, and you don't have to tell everybody how holy you are if you truly are. It's when you're doubting that you got to go through a shenanigan. God never asked us to be a people of shenanigan. He asked us to be a people of faith. Look at Peter and John. They're not putting on a shenanigan. He says, you want to know how this happened? Well, I'll tell you. You crucified the source of this healing, but God raised him from the dead. Hold on, I want to show you the power change. Before the resurrection, Peter ran from these guys. Remember? Jesus was arrested. Who did he stand before? The high priest, Caiaphas, Alexander. They were all there. And what did Peter do? I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And Peter got on the what? Under the power of the resurrection. Peter looks him in the eye and goes, oh, you want to know how a cripple walks? You crucified the source of this healing, but God raised him from the dead. And he goes on to tell him, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. Now, hold on. If you're going to live out faith, you never want Jesus to be your capstone. You want him to be your what? Cornerstone. Build everything on Jesus. Now, let me wrap it up. Look at this verse. Salvation is found in no one else. Can I go over that again? Salvation is found in what? No one else. Whether it's cool, popular, fancy, connective, whatever, salvation is found in what? No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So what's the source of salvation? Jesus Christ. And there's no other source. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you mean you believe good people of other faiths will not go to heaven? Let me be clear. Yes. I believe if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're doomed. That's why I preach intensely. You say, well, what if they're nice and sweet and loving? Here's the problem. Nobody's nice, sweet, and loving. Just because you're a foo-foo person doesn't mean you're a good person. It just means you're a bunch of foo-foo. Just means you're polite. Doesn't mean you're saved. The devil's polite. I mean, the devil never says, you want to go to hell. He shows you all these wonderful things and leads you to hell. And they all sound what? Good. There was a tree in the middle of the garden in Genesis chapter 3. It was a tree of good and evil. What side did Ms. Eve look at? The good side. Think about it sooner. The devil didn't say, Eve, do you see that tree over there? And she goes, yeah, I sure do. It's the evilest thing I've ever seen. He said, look at how good that is. And she went, oh, that is good. Just like this sounds good. Believe what you want to believe. As long as you believe there's a higher power, you shall be saved. That's a lie. And I love all you young people. Y'all don't understand. I pray for you every day. I love you. I want you to graduate from college. I want you to make A's. I want you to do wonderful things. I want you to make a lot of money, and I want you to tithe. So y'all don't know what that is yet. I want you to do something with your life. I want you to stay married. I want you to get married and stay married. I want your kids to look at you when you're old and wrinkled and say, that's my parents. And they've stayed together the whole time. They didn't like each other sometimes, but they stayed together because they loved the covenant more than themselves. That world needs to come back, amen? I only know one way to bring it back, and so I'm going to offer that way to you right now. Some of you today need to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, amen? Some of you today, you follow Jesus, but you don't follow Jesus. How many of y'all are saved and stalled? Not the rapture, it's just a rain shower. Y'all are going. Some of y'all are looking. What's that mean? It's rain. However, one day there'll be a trumpet. In every one of you in Jesus Christ, you'll go on with God. Now, everyone without Jesus Christ, you're done. Cap, corner. Cornerstone, roll on. Capstone, done deal. God desires that you be saved. So today, how many of y'all need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me, Lord. Love me, Lord. Connect with me, Lord. It's got to be real. This sign and a card at the front of the church, that baloney, I mean, there's a lot of false salvation out there. Watch this. Jesus is not asking you to believe he existed. He's asking you to repent of your sins and ask him to save you. The devil knows he exists. The devil knows he was crucified. The devil knows he was resurrected. What the devil won't do is submit to that activity. Will you do that today? How many of y'all need to be baptized? Some of y'all were following Jesus. Well, let me ask you a question. How can you say and confess, I am following Jesus, if you won't do the first thing he said do? How do you follow somebody if you won't do the first thing? You know, Coxes, you all had two girls. Did they ever walk without taking their first step? I didn't think so. Baptism is a first step into discipleship. It is, Pastor Jeff, what? First step. Some of y'all confused about that. I called somebody the other day and I said, man, you ready to get baptized? I said, well, I'm not perfect yet. I said, if you're waiting on being perfect before you get baptized, you'll never be baptized. I said, baptism starts it. Here's how much sense it makes. How many of y'all clean up before you take a bath? There's my point. Baptism's a bath, then you'll get on living a clean life. Amen? It starts with baptism, not finishes with baptism. It starts with baptism and it ends with trumpet. The ending of this gig is the final trumpet. Baptism is a starting place to the final trumpet. Okay, I preached a lot today. Anybody confused? Anybody get something today? Did everybody get a nugget? You should be this today. If you heard the Lord today, you should be slightly ticked off because there's some places today that are rough in this sermon. Now, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking you to look at that scripture and how do you argue with God himself saying there is no other way of salvation but me? Take it up with him. I'm just telling you what he said. That's my job. Here's what I do know, though. You'll never save yourself. And I'm trying to save you young people a lot of time trying to save yourself. I think it's warm in here today. I don't know if y'all are hot or not. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about this. Do you know Christ or not know Christ? Are you following Jesus or not following Jesus? Do you really want to see what God can do by releasing his unlimited abilities through you forever and ever? Amen. That's possible. I don't know. I just think it'd be really cool to live in a church like that for at least 3 months. Because you know what? We all decided to do that. We'll sing differently in here. We'll teach differently. We'll preach differently. And we'll love this world differently. So I say in the name of Jesus, let's release it. Amen. So here's the deal today. Some of you need to receive Christ. And some of you need to release Christ. So this is a receive and release altar today, okay? Some of you need to come and receive. Some of you need to come and put the power of the Holy Spirit. Football boys, I'm glad you're back. I'm praying for you. Gonna work out this week. Work out hard, have fun, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Some of y'all taking summer classes, study hard, pass, make A's. If you don't make A's, make B's. You don't need to make a C. A's and B's, unless it's calculus. Then C's are permissible. Do what God's called you to do in an excellent way. Amen. You know, John, if you set up a show, may it be the greatest ever. May they see Jesus in a setup. Let's live our lives. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let's let it go today. Listen, pay attention. Don't bail out of here right now. I want you focused. I want you focused. God's got your attention. He's got it raining right now, so you can't do nothing else. Because he wants to talk to you. Now, he's calling some of you all out to be teachers. He's calling all of us out to step up in a big way, be more real about this journey than we have been. Hello? He's in every one of you. In fact, I just pray sometimes God would give you all the vision I get to see on Sunday morning. See, I see the balcony, the back, the side wings, all of it. Do you know what God wants to do with this place? What it would really sound like with all of us lifting our hearts and minds and voice in one accord? I've never heard that sound in all my journey. That was the sound of Pentecost. One heart, one mind, one voice, one spirit. But we got to release individually to see that corporately. Some of you today need to come to Christ. And if that's you, guess what? God brought you here today for that reason. He loves you that much. He does not want you to go to hell. You better hear the truth. He loved you so much, he shed blood. An innocent man shed blood that you might live. He wants you to come and ask him to forgive you. Say, Pastor Ayers, do you love Muslims? You better believe I do, every one of them. And I pray every day that every one of them come to know Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and as the Son of God. Every one of them. You love Oprah, Pastor Steve? I love Oprah. And I hope she would go back to her Nashville roots and hear that old church that she grew up in and hear Jesus is Lord. One God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord of all. Now, that's what Oprah heard when she was growing up in that church. And her preacher preached that in Nashville. Then after she got up there to Chicago and made a little money, she thought she'd adjust the message. God ain't impressed with the Oprah Network, but he's madly in love with Oprah. He ain't impressed with you and me, but he's madly in love with us and wants us saved. Amen. Lord, open this altar to those that are not saved in the name of Jesus. May they make their way down here. Talk to these pastors, but Holy Spirit, may your spirit draw them to your salvation. We know you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only possibility. So God, bring us to salvation today. Lord, if you brought us to salvation, bring us to baptism, Lord, that we might be baptized in the name of Jesus through the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we might be confirmed in our salvation. Bring us to ministry today. Bring us to healing today. Bring us to release today. Bring us to certainty today. Lord, stand in us like you stood in John, in Peter, in those early, early followers of Jesus. May we stand. Church, it is released today. Don't go home without Jesus. Don't go home without Jesus. Don't go home without Jesus today. Don't go home today without a baptism today. Don't go home and turn away from him today. Come to Jesus today. In the name of Jesus, this altar is released. Guess what? I get to say this Sunday. Come and be saved. Come and be baptized. Come and be healed. Come and be inspired. Come and be lifted up. People are already getting saved today. Don't let it out. Don't let it pass by. Come on, if he's talking, you come on. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on. Come on. Savior.